Okay, we begin here on the top of Nun Ted and Aleph, five lines down. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Tinur Makalech Maim Chatzer Chaviro. You have a pipe that's dropping water into his friend's chatzer. Ba Balagag Lusotmo. And the owner of the roof, who has this easement to drop the water into the chatzer, he wants to now plug up the gutter so it doesn't pour water over there. Bala Chatzer Me'akev Alav. The Bala Chatzer has a right to stop him. So until now, we've been speaking about the rights of the owner of the roof to dispose of his water. If he has a gutter and then he has leads coming off the gutter, what are his rights in terms of the gutter itself, as well as the leads and depositing the water down below? So now we're looking at it from the other perspective. Once he has that easement or the right to deposit the water in his friend's area, what does the Bala Chatzer have a right to in terms of the water coming into his property? Until now, he used that water for laundry. He used it to give to his animals. He's now made use of the water. Can he now also make a claim that the usage of the water, I have a chazaka for, and now you can't move the water away? The way that the Rashbam terms it is it's a quid pro quo, which is he'll say, I gave you the right to deposit the water in my chazer because of the utility I had from that water. So the only reason you had the right to put it there is because I was going to use it. So now I have an equal claim on the water because of that mutual benefit or symbiotic relationship that we had until now. Damarle, because he can say to him, Keichi da'at kanita lecha chatzer didi lemishta be mayo, just like you acquired the right to deposit your water into my chatzer, the didi nami kanali maya digrach, I was the acquirer of your water coming off the roof. So that's this quid pro quo that exists. And so therefore, it was almost as if there was a sale, a bartering exchange between them, and I bought the rights to the usage of the water coming off of your roof. So Itmar Rabbi Yishaya Amar Me'akev, he has a right to stop him from moving the water away. Rabbi Chama Amar Eino Me'akev. Rabbi Chama's father, this is Rabbi Yishaya's father, says he may not stop him, meaning that you don't have a right to the water. Now, everybody agrees that if he builds another level on his house, or he does something that obviates the need for the gutter, then he doesn't have an obligation to continue to provide water into the chatzer. The only point is that as long as the roof has water that's flowing off of it, he has a right to demand that the water be deposited in his chatzer, if you believe he can be ma'akev. Nobody believes that you could stop him now from building or renovating and doing it in a way that there won't be a need for that water anymore, the deposit of that water. But here it is, if the roof still exists, and it's got to have the water flow off of it, where does that water get deposited? So Rabbi Yishaya says you have a right to stop him from moving it away from your chatzer. His father, Rabbi Chama, says no. Azal Shaila the Rabbi Bisa. So they went and asked the Rabbi Bisa. This is his cameo appearance in Shas. Amalu Ma'akev. He says it is Ma'akev. Rabbi Bisa is Rabbi Chama's father. So here you have three generations of Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Bisa is the grandfather, Rabbi Chama is the father, Rabbi Yishaya is the son, the grandson of the three of them. Karilei Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama said about these three, Achuta Mishulash, Lo Bimehira Yinatek, a three-ply rope will not easily break. Ze Rabbi Yishaya, Beno Shel Rabbi Chama. This is Rabbi Yishaya, who is the son of Rabbi Chama. Beno Shel Rabbi Bisa, who is the grandson of Rabbi Bisa. So over here, the Balei Tosafot ask, why is that such a big deal? We find many places in Shas where there were three generations of Talmidei Chachamim. So what was unique over here? So the Balei Tosafot say that it was unique here because they all lived at the same time and were learning together. I mean that not only were there three generations of Chachamim, but three generations of Chachamim that learned together and actually were Chachamim of stature, which is that they were not just simple Talmidei Chachamim, they were individuals who were giving out Piskei Halacha. That's a significant thing to put a note on, and that's what Rabbi Bar Chama is noting here. It's all three of them lived together. Balei Tosafot also note that Rabbi Yishaya is mentioned first, even though his father, Rabbi Chama, was disagreeing with him. Why wouldn't you put Rabbi Chama first, just out of respect from his father? So Balei Tosafot say that this is an indication that Rabbi Yishaya was greater than his father, and that's why he's enumerated first in the Machloket, despite the fact that he was the son. The Rashbam brings the drasha that we saw in Bava Metzia, the pasuk that we say every day in the beginning, Uvalitzion, which you should have kavana for, that your children and grandchildren should learn Torah, because it says over there, Mipi Zaracha, Mipi Zera Zaracha, and that the Gemara says, Midor Shlishi Velech, Torah Mechazeret Alachsan Yeshela, that after the third generation, it's a guarantee that Torah will stay in the family. And what was unique about these individuals is that the grandson agreed with the grandfather, or the grandfather agreed with the grandson. So that's what he says is unique over here, and that's what Rami Bar Chama was pointing out. Not the fact that there were three generations learning, but the fact that the grandson and the grandfather had the same opinion. And that's what was unique or special about it, and that's why Rami Bar Chama took note of the Chuta Mishulash, Lo Bimheira Yinatek. So now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah and says, Sulam HaMitzri Ein Lo Chazaka. When it comes to a Sulam HaMitzri, you don't have a Chazaka. Hei Chidami Sulam HaMitzri. The Mishnah doesn't define for us what is a Sulam HaMitzri versus a Sulam Tzuri. So Amri Debei Rabbi Anai, Koshe Ein Lo Arba'a Chavakim. It doesn't have four rungs on it. As Rashi says, Chavakim are Shlivot, Echelons, which are like levels or stairs, the way that we've seen it before. And that's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom calls them. He calls them malot, like stairs. And that's what we noted yesterday, that their ladders were more along the lines of staircases sometimes than ladders. That's why we speak about them in terms of malot rather than shlivot or rungs. So as long as it doesn't have four rungs, it's classified as a sulam mitzri. Once you get to four rungs or bigger, then it's actually much more of a permanent structure, and then it becomes a sulam tzuri and takes on all the properties or halachot that are associated with sulam tzuri. Chalona mitzrit ein la chazaka. A chalona mitzrit does not have a chazaka. Maishna gabe sulam delo mifaresh. Why in the Mishnah does the Mishnah just mention a sulam mitzri and a sulam tzuri without any definition or clarification? O maishna gabe chalon. Why by the windows, dimifaresh? Over there it tells you what a chalona mitzrit is. It says there, a chalona mitzrit is anything that you can't fit your head into. So why does it explicate on a chalona mitzrit, but does not explicate on the sulama mitzrit? Mishilim tekabai ifluge Rabbi Yehuda b'seifa. Because the latter half of the Mishnah is a Rabbi Yehuda who argues on exactly what is defined as a window that establishes a chazaka. So the Tanakhama differentiated between a chalon mitzri and a chalon suri. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to come along and say it has nothing to do with what type of chalon. It has to do with the nature of the window, whether you frame the window out or you don't frame out the window. So what the Mishnah wanted to do is explain to you what the position of the Tanakhama was in order to understand why Rabbi Yehuda or how Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on him. So now, Amar Rabbi Zeira, the Mata Midalad Amot Yeshlo Chazaka. Below four amot, the opening of a window establishes a chazaka. Ve'yacholim chot. And therefore, the balachatzer can stop him from putting in the window. L'malo me'arba amot, above four amot, ein lo chazaka. You do not establish a chazaka. Ve'en yacholim chot. And therefore, you do not have a right to object. Since you can have him close it up anytime, or you can do whatever you want in your chatzer now, you can't block his opening of the window. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Afilu L'malam Arba Amot, Ein Lo Chazaka, V'Yechol Imchot. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even above four Amot, where you cannot establish a Chazaka, despite that fact, Yechol Imchot, you can object to his putting in the window, and the Gemara is going to discuss their Machloket in a second. The question is, when Rabbi Zera says it only applies below four Amot, not above four Amot, what is he qualifying? Our Mishnah has two windows. Our Mishnah has a window of a Chalona Mitzri, and it has a Chalona Tzuri. So then, when he's qualifying above and below four amot, which of those two windows is he speaking about? So the Rashbam claims that this is about a chalon tzuri. It's talking about the larger window, because he says you have ikatarte. You have two things going here, which is shugadol, that it's big, vinamuch, and it's low down. Being big and low down, then you can look into the chatzer. That's the problem. It's within your range of vision. And it's big, so that's going to cause hezekriyah, your ability now to see into the chatzer, it's going to cause problems with privacy in the chatzer. Whereas, if it's above four amot, that's higher than the typical height of an individual, it's above his head, and so the only thing you can see through that window is the sky. Based on where you're standing in the house, you look up at a window like that, it'll bring light into the house, but you're not going to be able to see anything in the chatzer because of the angle at which you are looking through the window. So that's the view of the Rashbam, that we're speaking about a chalon tzuri. And then obviously he says, about chalon mitzri, when it comes to a smaller window like that, ben milamala midalat amot, ben milamata, in lo chazaka. Whether it's above or below for amot, you don't have a chazaka from it. And you have no right of refusal or objection over here. So the way the Rashbam is reading it is this qualification is about the chalon hatsuri, the larger window. When it comes to the smaller window, you can't establish chazaka whether it's above or below for amot, and the other party can't object if it's above or below for amot. The other hand, you can see in the Balei Tosafot, Rabbeinu Tam Mifaresh, the Airi b'chalon mitzrit. It's talking about a chalon mitzri. Even though the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say this, you could explain that the case here is af b'chalon mitzrit, which means not only by chalon tzri, but also by chalon mitzrit, or in essence, it would apply to all windows. It doesn't matter whether it's a chalon mitzri or a chalon tzri. If you're below four amot, you can establish a chazaka, and the other party can object. If it's above four amot, then, depending on the opinions here, you won't establish a chazaka, according to all the opinions. Whether you can object or not will be subject to the machloket we're going to see in the Gemara. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam thinks that it applies only to a chalon mitzrit and other windows like that, but not a chalon tzuri. Well, the chalon tzuri, oshasui l'ora, shu davar kviut, something that's permanent, afilu malo mi'arba amot yeshul chazaka. Even above for a mot is considered to be a chazaka. So therefore, the nafkamina between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam is that the Rashbam will say that a chalon tzuri above for a mot is fine, and a chalon mitzri below for a mot is also fine. For the Rabbeinu Tam, a chalon mitzri below for a mot is problematic, and a chalon mitzri above for a mot is also problematic. So that is the difference in opinion as to how to read this Gemara. The Gemara says, lema bekofim amidat stom kamiflege. Let us say the machloket here is whether we compel individuals when they're acting like those of stom, which is in a case of zenene, vizelo chaser, if the other party benefits and there's no loss or no skin off your back, that's midat stom to stop someone there. Why would you stop someone from benefiting when you have no loss or there's no problem for you at all? So that's midat stom. Do we then compel the individual to act appropriately? So let's say that's the machloket here, the marsava kofin, that we compel the individual where it's no skin off his back to do it, and that'll be the position of Rabbi Zeira, and that's why Rabbi Zeira says above four amot, you're not allowed to be a cave, you can't object, because there's no skin off your back. The window being up there is not going to bother you or hurt you because of the fact that it's not a chazaka. And number two is he can't see into your chatzer, so why do you care? Marsava ain't kofin, and Rabbi Yiloh will say, we aren't kofeh, and therefore if he wants to object to it, he can object to it, even though there's no loss for him. Even though it's the other party's benefiting, and you're losing nothing. Rabbi Yiloh says, that's your choice. If you want to object, despite the fact that it's not the best behavior, we're not going to stop you. And that would be the fundamental reason for the machloket. The Gemara says, lo, to kuliyama kofin. Everybody agrees that we do compel individuals to do the right thing when it's zenene v'zelo chaser. B'shayni hocha, here it's different. Damarle zimnin demotav sharshifa tutech. Some point you're going to put a step stool or a footrest under you. V'kayamait v'kachazit. You're going to get up on it and you're going to look through the window. So as we explained before, for amot, we're going to get to this later in the Masechta, that the standard height of the individual was, depending on Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, whether it was three amot or four amot. But a window above four amot is above the height of an individual. Since it's above the height of the individual, he can't see into the chatzer. So what is our chashash? He'll take a step stool. He'll take a footstool in his house, stand up on it, and then peer through the window. So that's the machloket here. Do we worry about behavior like that? Are people so mechutzaf that they'll come and look into your chatzer by standing up on something in their house to look through the window to intentionally gaze at what you're doing in your chatzer? Or do we consider that behavior to be far-fetched or out of the realm of the normal conduct of individuals, and therefore we don't worry about it? And that's what they're arguing about. Do we worry about it or not? And the right to objection will depend on whether you think this is something to worry about or not to worry about. How the atel kamei de Rabbi Ami? So an individual came before Rabbi Ami, shadre de kamei de Rabbi Abba bar Mamel. He sent him with the question to Rabbi Abba bar Mamel, amalei, avid leik Rabbi Yiloh. Says, do like Rabbi Yiloh, which is that even above four amot, you have a right to object. So that would be a psak halacha like Rabbi Yiloh. Because we worry about people's behavior inside of their house, where they may do something inside of their house to raise their height to the level of the window, and that will cause problems for the person in the chatzer. Since that's the case, he can object, even though the other party can't establish a chazaka in that way. Amar Shmuel, ulo'ora, afilu koshu yeshto chazaka. Shmuel says, if it's for light, anything creates a chazaka. It's the way that the Rashbam reads it over here. He says that chalon asui le'ora milta de kviuta, that anything that's made for light is a permanent structure. Umatznitin, our Mishnah, lam b'chalon asui le'ora mayri. It's not talking about a case of a window made for light. The windows in the Mishnah are discussing about windows that are utilized for seeing your crops, for getting visibility to something else. So given that the purpose of the window in the Mishnah is for visibility or to be able to see something or peer at something, that is only permanent when it's big enough. When it's small enough, it doesn't have a permanent side to it because it can be plugged up and it can be moved around. And so given that, if it's big, it has a chazaka. If it's small, it doesn't have a chazaka. But if you open up for light, light is something that is always there. It's always necessary. And therefore, you will have a chazaka when you put it in for light. Right? So then here, there seems to be no havamina that he's going to plug it up when he opens up for light. That begs the question of, what is this window doing vis-a-vis the other walls of the house or the other parts of the house? So the Rashbam on the Mishnah says, Kevin de la milta de kviyuta ulo chashush limchot. Since it's not a permanent structure, he doesn't object. Avali masolai ir, shelo hayalo ora mitzad acher. He had no other windows in his house to provide light. Ki im mikan, except from this window. Yeshlo chazaka l'shem kviyuta. So this guy is not going to close this up because this is his only source of light into the house. So the way that the Rashbam explains it, and many Rishonim agree, is that Shmuel's statement is only true when you're talking about that this being the singular source of light. Because over there, he doesn't have light from any other direction, and it's the single source of light, he's not going to plug this up. That's why it's a milta de kviyutahi. If he has light from other sources, then you can't claim this is milta de kviyutahi, because even if you plug this up, you'll still have light from the other sides. There are Rishonim who disagree and suggest that this is even in the case where he has other windows. Even though he has other windows, this will create more light in his house, and nobody wants to give up that light. So once he puts it in for light, then it is considered to be permanent structure, and you don't have a right to then stop him because he's established a chazaka, or at the time that he opens it, you can be mocheh because of the fact that he is putting in something that will be a permanent structure. All right, next Mishnah. Haziz ad tefach yesh lo chazaka. So a ziz is some sort of protrusion that comes out of the wall. We've seen it in the Gemara in Shabbat with regards to carrying and passing things from side to side of Rishut Rabim, or whether it's Rishut Yachid in Eruvin as well. Over here, it's clear that these were an essential or integral part of the utility of the house or the people up above. They used to have these projections or protrusions that came out of the wall that they utilize to hang things on, to put things on, to stay on top of there, whether it's to keep something cool, to warm something up, to dry clothing, many reasons why you would want to utilize it. So this is ad tefach yeshlo chazaka. Until a tefach, you have a chazaka, ve'yacholim chot. And the person has a right to demur, which is that he can say to you, don't put it there, because if you put it there, you're going to gain a chazaka, and therefore I don't want it there. Pachot mi tefach, if it's less than a tefach, ain't no chazaka, you don't gain a chazaka through the pachot mi tefach, ve'ain yacholim chot. And therefore, the other party can't stop him from having it there because it's not of a permanent nature. So the individual, for instance, the case here, the way that the Rashbam explains it, is it's a case where the upper house wants to put this protrusion out of his wall, but it's going to hang over the chatzer, courtyard that's there. So you have the owner of the upper house now going into the airspace or the air rights of the Bala Chatzer. Does he have a right to do so? And does the Bala Chatzer have a right to object? And so what the Mishnah says is, if it's a tefach or greater, if you do it, you will establish a chazaka, therefore the Bala Chatzer can stop you from doing it. On the other hand, if it's less than a tefach, since it's not a permanent and will not establish a chazaka, the Bala Chatzer cannot stop you from doing that. The right of the Bala Chatzir here to object to the Bala Gag doing this because of the infringement on his rights in the Chatzir. We're going to see in a second whether those are air rights or problems of Hezek Riyah. He has a right to object. The Bala Yotosufot, note over here, he says, Ad tefach yeshlo chazaka v'yecholim chot, afilu Bala Gag b'Bala Chatzir. He says that this is a two-way street. Even the owner of the roof can stop the Bala Chatzir from putting in a ziz or using that ziz, even though you don't have the problem now of hezek ri'iyah, and you don't have a problem of airspace because it's his airspace. The taima, he says, is the tefach yechol litlot varim gidolim. Because if you have a tefach of a projection coming out of the wall, you can hang heavy things on it. Oh, im yaniach alav kli malei mayim vishpoch vitkalkel hakotel. So he says that the Bala Gag can object, because if you hang heavy things on this, or you put water on top of it and it spills, it's going to damage the integrity of the wall. The heavy things are going to hurt the wall's integrity, or the water spilling is going to hurt the wall's integrity, or the foundation of the wall. So that's why the Bala Gag can object, is because he's afraid of his wall coming down. Bala Chatzir yecholim chot mishum hezek ri'iyah. The Bala Chatzir can object because of hezek ri'iyah, as we said before, the possibility that the Bala Gag, while he's using it, is now going to peer into the property of the Bala Chatzir. And then the Tosva goes on and says, V'od, yesh lefaresh, the dafka achar gimel ayri. I'm only talking about after 3 years. Yecholim chod Bala Gag be'Bala Chatzir. After 3 years, then, only then, can the owner of the upper area object to the Bala Chatzir's usage, v'lo mitam depreshit. Not because what I explained before, the integrity of the wall, Mishum de'eshlo tashmish, the Bala Gag alaziz. Because the Bala Gag wants to use that projection. So, Ratzel ishtamesh po kol sha'ah. And he wants to use it all the time. Velo yaniach et Bala Chatzir lishtamesh po. And he won't let the Bala Chatzir use it. Aval betoch gimo, shelo yegzik, en yolochol imchot b'Bala Chatzir. But within 3 years, he can't stop the Bala Chatzir. So what the Bala Yotosafot suggests afterwards is, in the first place, they say they're on equal footing. The Bala Gag and Bala Chatzir can object, both of them, for whatever their reasons are. In the second explanation, he says, the Bala Chatzir has a right of objection immediately. Bala Gag only has a right of objection after 3 years, which means that if he's utilized it for 3 years, the Bala Gag, he has a right then to say, it's solely mine, and solely for my usage, and the Bala Chatzir no longer has a right to put his things over there. He basically claims utility of the item, after that establishing that chazoko, and therefore he can prevent the Bala Chatzir from using it anymore. But then, within 3 years, he doesn't have a right to do that, and the Bala Chatzir could use it equally with him, because he didn't establish a chazoka to make it solely his. So that's the second explanation that the Bala Tosafot explained. The Rashbam explains that the Bala Gag's right to object over here was for one of two things. Either he can object to the Bala Chatzir putting zizim next to his ziz, which would then hurt his ability to use his ziz, because the Bala Chatzir is building zizim around it. Or similar to what the Bala Yotosafot are suggesting, that his right of usage over here will be impeded by the Bala Chatzir. And therefore he can stop the Bala Chatzir from utilizing it, because the Bala Chatzir using it will hurt his ability to use this ziz. Although other Rishonim suggest that the Bala Gag's objection right here is that he can prevent the individuals from building underneath the ziz, because then it would ruin the ziz, or the ability to utilize the ziz and hang things from it. And so that his right to object against the Bala Chatzir is to stop the Bala Chatzir from building underneath the ziz, and therefore making it ois ziz, or no longer a ziz, because now it's incorporated into a building that the Bala Chatzir put up there. Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Mani, V'amila Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Mani, Hechzik b'tefach, Hechzik b'dalit. If he takes a chazoka on a tefach, he gets 4. So you take a hand, you get an arm. My kamar. What is he saying here? So as the Rashbam explains over here, that if he were to suggest that if an individual has a projection or something going out into the chatzer of a tefach, that once he has a tefach, he can take 4 tefachim. Says that makes no sense. Umilta below taimahu. That makes no sense whatsoever. And that's why the Gemara asks, what does it mean? And that's what Abaye comes to clarify. So Abaye clarifies and says, Amar Abaye, Hachi Gamar, Hechzik Rochav Tefach, B'meshach. It should be Arba'ah over here, because it's clearly not Arba'ah Mot, it's Arba'ah Tefachim. If you took a Rochav Tefach, a width of a Tefach, that stretches four tefachim, hegzik berochav arba'ah. Then he gets also a width of four tefachim. So here you have two terminologies being used. One is width, and meshech, what here would be length. So the question is, which direction are you speaking in? And that turns out to be machloket between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Gershom. So as the Rashbam explains over here, the kevin de'inilach lo orech shel makom chashuv, since he gave him a length of something that is significant, nitzratzelo nami berachbo, he must have also then granted him the right to the width. De'ein makom chashuv pachot midalad al dalad. 4x4 tefachim is considered to be a significant location, and thereby he must have given him that right, that if you have a projection or something along the wall that sticks out 4 tefachim into the other person's property, then he can also take 4 tefachim along the wall. So once he's gotten 4 tefachim of space or protrusion into your chatzer, then by definition he can also take another 4 tefachim of width along the wall. So it sticks out into the chatzer 4. You also get now to make it to square it out to be a 4x4, and you get to keep the whole 4x4 area. So that right of intrusion into your friend's property, once you get that far in, a tefach is one threshold. Once you hit 4 tefachim, that's a new threshold. That is so significant that it must be that he didn't just allow you a 4 tefachim into his property by a tefach wide. He must have allowed you a 4 tefachim wide as well. And you can create a, call it a small mirpeset of 4x4 tefachim coming out of the wall. That's the way the Rashbam reads it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom reads the Rochav and Meshech just the opposite over here. And he says that if he entitled you to a tefach of protrusion into his property that was wide 4 tefachim along the wall, once you have that, you can take the whole wall. So some quote the Rabbeinu Gershom is saying, you can have a Rochav tefach along the entire wall. That once you have got the right to a tefach of protrusion into the property that was 4 tefachim wide, 4 tefachim wide is the equivalent of everything, and therefore you could take the whole wall. But if you read the Rabbeinu Gershom himself, it sounds like not only do you get the whole wall, but you get 4 tefachim deep into the property across or along the whole wall. Once he's given you a space that's wide 4 tefachim along the wall, even though it's a tefach deep into the property, that gives you the extent of the whole wall, plus it seemingly gives you a depth of 4 tefachim into the property along that whole spacing. And that's what he says, Ziz rachav tefach, b'meshek arko dalet, yeshu chazaka b'chatzer, b'rochav dalet keneged orech kol hakotel. Once you have a tefach outward and 4 tefachim wide, he grants you not only the whole wall of a depth of one tefach, but he also grants you 4 tefachim deep, meaning that once you've gotten that significant space of 4 tefachim wide, that means the 4 wide allows you now to expand across the whole kotel. And then it seemingly also allows you to now go 4 tefachim into the property. Obviously, it's a much bigger chiddush. No matter which way you read the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's a much bigger chiddush than the Rashbam. So now the Gemara says, Pachot mi tefach, ein lo chazaka ve'ein yochol limchot. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ele balagag ve'balachatzer. Based on, this is how the Tosfot knows that the Balagag and the Balachatzer have rights of objection when it comes to a greater than a tefach, because over here the Gemara qualifies it when it's less than a tefach, which is that lo shano Balagag b'Balachatzer. The Balagag no longer has a right to object to the Balachatzer. So here when it's less than a tefach, all the reasons that we spoke about before go away for the Balagag's objection to the Balachatzer. One of the main reasons is, as the Rashbam explains over here, is that the Balachatzer has a right to take the ziz away completely. Since he can cut it off completely, you can't make any claim to the utility of that ziz. You can't say, oh, don't use it, because if you use it, then I can't use it. The Balachatzer can say, I'm going to cut it off, and you won't be able to use it at all. So therefore, since he has a right to cut it off, you don't have any right of objection. Or, because he can cut it off, he also can set up other zizim around it, and that wouldn't be a problem, or he can build under it and ruin it. For all of those reasons, that claim that the Balagag had before to object to the Balachar's using of the projection once it's sticking out at Tefach, when it's less than a Tefach, he loses all those rights, because the Balachatzer could take the Ziz down at any point that he wants, and therefore his utility is at the mercy of the Balachatzer. So as long as it's there, fine, but since the Balachatzer has a right to take it down, he can also demand how it is used. And the Balagag has no right of objection in that case. Aval Balachazer b'Balagag yachol limchot. He still has a right of objection, even when it's less than a tefach. So the implications of that are when it's greater than a tefach, both parties have rights of objection. And that's what the Balei Tosafot were trying to clarify for us on the previous Amud. But now we have a less than a tefach. And we said a less than a tefach doesn't establish a chazakah. So we say that one of the parties here doesn't have a right of objection. What Rav Huna says is that's only the Balagag loses his right of objection. But the Balachatzer, he still has a right of objection. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilu Balachatzer, but Balagag ain't yucholim chot. Rabbi Yehuda says even the Balachatzer loses his right of objection. Now neither party has a right of objection. Lema behezek riyah kamifliget. Let us say that they're arguing about whether hezek riyah is really shmei hezek. It's really called a problem hezek. What's the issue here? The Balagag is going to utilize the projection, protrusion, that's less than a tefach. And while he's utilizing it, he's going to look into his friend's chatzer. So he's going to hurt his friend by now having the ability to peer into it. He owns the aliyah. He's upstairs already. He doesn't have to climb anywhere. His utility or usage of the ziz is going to give him the right to look. The concept of hezek riyah is that if when I'm looking into your property, it's clear that I'm peering into your property, and you can call me out on it and say that you're a ganav, or what are you doing, because it's clear that you're peering over the wall. I mean, if you stand up on something peering over the wall, and we know the wall's higher than your height, then we know that you don't have a right to be doing that because you're doing something that clearly gives you access to visibility in my property. And if I see you doing that, I'm going to call you out on that. On the other hand, if I am doing things in my own property that are normal, you can't say to me, don't do that. I'm saying I'm just hanging my stuff on the ziz. Oh, at that time I can look into your property? Yeah, that's right. But I won't be considered to be out of line when I do that. And that's the fear. That's the fear in hezek riyah, is where a person can act normal and still be able to peer into the property. So this will be their machloket over here. Demar saver shmei hezek. Rav Huna believes that it's called hezek. And therefore the balachatzer, even when it's less than a tefach, can object to the balagag's using it. Because when the Balagag uses it, he's going to go over there and he can be looking into the chatzer. Ah, you look up at him and say, yeah, you're looking at my chatzer. He says, yeah, I'm just taking care of my stuff here on the ziz. That's where he'll view it. Umar Saver Lav Shmei Hezek. And Rav Yehuda will believe that it's not considered to be Hezek. And therefore, you can go out on the ziz. And if you look into the chatzer, you look into the chatzer. That's not considered to be Hezek. Umar says, lo, Dekuliyam Shmei Hezek. Everybody agrees that your ability to look into your friend's property and watch what he's doing is considered a Hezek or is a problem. B'shani ocha. Here's the difference. Damarlei v'tashmishta lo chazi. He says, I can't use the ziz. I can't climb out onto it. It's smaller than a tefach. It's tiny. I'm not going to climb out onto it. I can barely put things onto it. B'mai chazi. What can I use it for when it's this small? L'mitla be'midei. He says, just to hang things on. It's so small. That's the only thing I can do. It's the equivalent of a hook on the wall. Ma'adrana apai v'talina be. I'll turn my head away and I'll hang things on there. And the way the Rishbam phrases it, and if you see me looking into your chatzer, you can call me out on it, because I shouldn't be looking. I can hang my stuff there without having to look into your chatzer. V'idach amalei, and the other party will say to him, zimnin debietat. Sometimes you're going to be scared to use it, and therefore you're going to look. What the fear is, the Rishbam says, which would be the simple way to view it, is that you're afraid of falling off the roof, or falling off this high place. When you're going to hang something over there, if you're not looking and you're leaning over to hang something, there is a possibility you're going to fall off. You're not looking where you're going. So therefore, you're going to be fearful. And because you're fearful, you're going to look. Once you have the right to look, then I can't call you out on your looking into my chatzer. The way that the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it is that the fear here is that you're going to drop the item that is hanging there. The thing that you're hanging, you're not going to get it on properly. You're not going to hang it properly. And it's going to fall. So you're afraid from that perspective, not afraid of you falling, you're afraid of the object falling, so therefore you're going to look. Either way, it then allows you to look. The Balei Tosafot asks a fundamental question about this, which is, why is it that he can hang something over here from his roof? Because a roof, by halacha, is required to have a ma'akeh around it. You have to have a ma'akeh around it, both from a safety perspective, so people don't fall off the roof, that's a din d'oraita, but also from a hezek riyah standpoint, that you can't be on your roof and looking into his chatzer, so you have to have some sort of fence that's around it. So how is he going to be leaning over from his roof to use the ziz if there's a ma'akeh there? How is he going to get around that problem? That's a serious issue or an impediment to using the ziz that is there. So the answer that the Baal Tosafot give is because it's on the Keren Zavit. It's on the corner. It's where the maket ends, which blocks your visibility into the chatzer, but it's right at that corner. So you can lean over in that corner, and that's not, say it's a shield or a block against you seeing into my chatzer. You only need that along the side of the roof that looks into my chatzer. The other sides of the roofs don't need it because I can't see into your chatzer over there. But right at that corner, if you have some sort of protrusion that comes out of there, then you could lean over on that corner, and then you'd still be able to see on the angle into my chatzer. That's the way the Baalei Tosafot explain it. The other way to deal with it is the way that the Gemara in Erevin describes these protrusions, is that you get access to it not through the roof, but through the window. You have a window that opens up right next to that protrusion, and therefore you can get access to it in that way. Although that would create other issues, which is once he has a window there, what is he worried about the protrusion? He has the window that he can look into your chatzer with. But that's the other way that you could get access to it. The Baalei Tosafot also note that there is a difference between this and Reshut Rabim. Because if you have a protrusion into Reshut Rabim, we don't necessarily allow you to utilize it and put things on there, because we're afraid that things will fall off and injure the parties below in the Reshut Rabim. So why doesn't the Baal HaChatzer also have a right of objection over here to stop you from using it? Because this stuff might fall into his property or hurt him down below. So the Baal HaChatzer give two answers. One answer is that the utility over here is tliya, is that it's hanging, and the utility over there was a case where you're placing it on top of the ziz. So in Achanami, if you were placing things on top of the ziz, you'd have the same problem over here. But here, because you're hanging the item, it's less likely to fall, and so there's not an issue. Or the other issue is that Reshut Rabim is in continuous usage. So therefore, if something falls, the likelihood that it'll injure someone below is very high. The chatzer is not something where a person's there permanently or all the time. He's in and out of his chatzer. So even if the item falls, the likelihood that it's going to injure him or do damage down below is very low. So for that reason, he distinguishes it from the case of Reshut Rabim to here, and why you can use the ziz over here, despite the possibility that it would fall off, either because it's used in a different way of hanging, or even if it falls off, the likelihood of injury or damage is much lower here, and so therefore we don't worry about it. Alright, next Mishnah. Lo yiftach adam chalonotav lechatzer ha-shutafim. Person may not open up his windows into a chatzer of shutafim. The way that the Rashbam reads this is that you may not open up your window into a area that is owned by shutafim. It's not that you are a shutaf in the property, but rather you are a wall that abuts this chatzer. And that chatzer has multiple parties in it already. You may not open up a window in your house that abuts this chatzer into the chatzer shutafim. The Baal HaTosafot disagree and say that it's a case where you are a shutaf in the property and you're not allowed to open up the window into the property that you are a shutaf in. Again, we'll read it in the Gemara. We'll understand why those differences of opinions are important. Lakach bayit b'chatzer acheret. If you purchase the house in an adjacent chatzer, lo yiftachena b'chatzer shutafim. Shouldn't open up into a chatzer of shutafim. Again, the way the Rashbam explains it over here is that you bought a house in an adjacent chatzer in which you have no access to the chatzer. You want to open up a door in this house so that your egress is not just through the chatzer in which the house is found, but now can actually go out through the chatzer that it abuts. So we had a case like this earlier in the Masechta. And that's why many reject the explanation of the Rashbam over here, is because we've already seen this early in the Masechta, that even if you are a partner in that chatzer, you can't open up additional doors from your house into the chatzer. Certainly not from an adjacent chatzer would you be able to open up a door. So given that, they reject that explanation of the Rashbam, and they give the alternative view, which is, the case here is where you are a shutaf in both properties, meaning that you are a member of both courtyards, and now you bought a house in the adjacent property, the adjacent courtyard. So now that you're opening up now a door from that house into the chatzer that it abuts, but rather you're opening up a door between the two houses that you own. So you own a house in chatzer A, and now you buy a house in chatzer B. So the Rashbam says, in that house in chatzer B, you can't open up into chatzer A. Most Rishonim say that's pretty straightforward. We saw that early in the Masechta. That's too simple. What's the chiddush here? So therefore, they explain, no, not that you want to open up a door from house in Chatzer B into Chatzer A, but rather you want to join the house in Chatzer A and the house in Chatzer B together. By joining those two houses together, now someone in courtyard A could pass through courtyard B. Because of the fact now that these two houses are adjoined, they could either, through your house, access the other chatzer, or the other way to express it is, if someone's in the house in chatzer B, they can now exit through chatzer A, even though they have to pass through your house, but they still could exit through there, and therefore you're increasing the traffic flow. So that's the way they learn what is being said here. Banalia al gabei beito. A person builds an upper level on his house. Lo yiftachena lechatzer ha-shutafim. He may not open it up into the property of the shutafim. For the Rishbam, this is exactly the same case again, which is when you put up an aliyah, when you put an upper level, you can't open it up into the chatzer. You can only open it up into the house on which it is sitting, and then you exit through that house. And that's the chiddush over here. Even though the aliyah is built into this chatzer, the way that it has to access the chatzer is through the house upon which it is built, not have independent access to the chatzer. We'll see in the Gemara is going to qualify that and discuss what exactly you can do or can't do. But for the Rishbam, it's just an extension of the same discussion before, which is that before you said that you can't open up from the house into the chatzer, the same is true of an aliyah. The second level you build can't open it up into the chatzer. You can only open it up to the current house, and the house will exit into the chatzer that exists in already. You can't create new accesses just because you built an aliyah on top of it. The other Rishonim, who disagreed with the Rishbam in the previous explanation, we'll explain over here the same thing, that you're not allowed to, if you have a situation in which two houses in the two different chatzerot, and then you build an aliyah, you bring an upper level, and then that upper level you open up into the house in the adjacent chatzer. So once again, now you've given access from chatzer A into chatzer B, but now instead of going through your house, they're going to have to go through the aliyah. They're going to have to go through the upper part, because that's where the houses are joined. So on the lower level, your two houses are not joined. But on the upper level, through the aliyah that you built, you adjoined the houses. So now you have a house in chatzer A, and a house in chatzer B. By adjoining the aliyot, someone could potentially move from chatzer A to chatzer B, but they have to go upstairs. So that's the chiddush. Because here it's a much bigger inconvenience. They have to go upstairs and downstairs, despite the fact they can object to you opening up or adjoining between the two adjacent houses. Ela imratza, if you want to do something, boneh et hacheder lifnim mibeito. You build a room inside your house, ubone aliyah al gabei beito, or you build an aliyah on top of yes, upotcha letoch beito. And then you can open it up into your house. And again, the Gemara will discuss why is that different than all the cases that we've been speaking about until now. So where it says, my iria, the chatzer ha-shutafim. Why does it matter that you're putting into a chatzer ha-shutafim? Afilu the chatzer chaveiro nami. Even if it goes into your friend's property, it's also a problem. The way that the Rishbam reads this is, why is there a problem with you opening up a window into an adjacent chatzer where you have no access to? You're not a shutaf in that chatzer. Why does the Mishnah say you may not open up a window when there are two parties in the chatzer that's there? There are multiple parties in the other courtyard. You can't open up a window. Why can't you say the same thing even if there's one party in the other adjacent chatzer? Why should you be able to open up a window? As the Rishbam says, hezek riyah doesn't matter. Hezek riyah shouldn't matter if there are multiple parties in the other chatzer, or whether there's a single party in the other chatzer. Hezek riyah is still relevant. So why should you be able to open up your window from your house in the chatzer B to look into chatzer A? Why should you have that access, no matter how many people are in the chatzer? That's the nature of the Gemara's question. On the other hand, for the Baal Tosafot to say that you are a shutaf in the other property, why should it matter whether you are a shutaf, where now you have multiple windows into this property, one from the existing house that you have in this property, one from the house that you have in the adjacent property? Even if you are not in that property and you're opening up a window, you're causing a problem for your friend. Even if you're not a shutaf in the chatzer, you're causing a problem. So Gemara says, lo mi bai kamar. The Mishnah is saying, not only. Lo mi bai le chatzer chaveiro delo. Of course, when you are looking into chatzer chaveiro, there, of course, you can't open up a window. Aval the chatzer shutafim, when you're opening up a window into chatzer shutafim, I'll explain like the Rishbam now, which is that when you open up a window, and now you're able to see into your friend's chatzer, there it's clearly problematic. Until now, your friend had a private chatzer. You're opening up the window of your house that abuts his chatzer, is now making it, he doesn't have a private chatzer anymore. So they don't even have to talk about that. Of course you can't do that. But In a case where you're opening up into a chatzer where there are already multiple parties, there's already a lack of privacy. So why should opening your window be any detriment to that privacy? And that's what he says then. They're like, sof, hagabayit itztunune minai b'chatzer. You're still going to have to hide yourself from me in the chatzer. Over here, the Reshbam jumps tracks a little bit and seems to indicate that you have access to the chatzer, similar to the Bali HaTosafot. But you could even explain it according to the other way that the Reshbam explained it before, which is, you're going to have to worry about other parties coming into this chatzer. Because you have multiple parties in the chatzer, you have to worry about them coming in. The way the Bali HaTosafot explained it is, I had the door access to this property before, so why does it matter that I open up a window into this property? It's not changing anything. It says, Kamash Malon, the answer is, Damarle, he can respond to him, Areina b'chatzer ava b'ina itznuei minach. Until now, when I was in the chatzer, I had to be careful from you. Hashta afilu b'bayit nami b'ina itznuei minach. Until now, your only access to the chatzer was through the doorway. And therefore, when I was in the chatzer, I just had to watch for you coming out of your door, or not do things opposite your door, because your only access to the chatzer was through that doorway into the chatzer. So I could either do it on an angle or in a place where you can't see through your doorway into the chatzer, or if your door is closed, I know you're not in my chatzer, and so therefore I have privacy. Now, with the window there, you could be sitting leisurely in your house and be watching what I'm doing in my chatzer. I can't protect my privacy anymore because I have no idea if you're looking at me. You have a clear view of the chatzer without having to expose the fact that you're coming into the chatzer. So that's the difference. That is the way that the Bali HaTosafot explain it. And that's one of the two ways that the Reshbam explains it. Inami, the Reshbam also gives an alternative. He says that when I was in my house before, I didn't have to worry about you looking into my house, because your doorway was the only access into the chatzer. If your door was open, then I know maybe you could see into my house or where you could see in my house. And I could make sure that I close my door or I don't go into the rooms in my house where you could see into. Now that you have a window into the chatzer, you could be looking into my house through that window and I have no idea what you, when you're there and when you're seeing and what access you have to see into my house. So that's the other way that the Reshbam reads it. The Bali HaTosafot reject that and say, there's nowhere in the Mishnah or nowhere in the Gemara that indicates that the windows are opposite each other. We have a Mishnah that says explicitly, you're not allowed to open a window opposite another window. So therefore, it can't be a case where the window is opposite another window. And therefore, how does he see into the other party's house if the window is built in such a way to specifically obviate the possibility of looking into the other person's house? And therefore, the Tosafot rejects that understanding and says it must be in a simpler way to explain it. And the Reshbam brings this as an alternative. Tosafot brings this as the primary way to explain it, is that in the chatzer, I've lost my privacy now, because your window now allows you to gaze into the chatzer at any time without me being aware of that fact. Tanu Banan, Maseba Adam Echad Shepetach Chaluna V'Chatzer Shutafim. He opened up a window into a chatzer of the Shutafim. Balifnei Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yosi, and he comes before Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yosi. Amar Loch Exact Bini Chazakt. You took possession of it. You open up a window into a chatzer. Nobody objects. You're good. It's yours. Balifnei Rabbi Chia Amar. So then, when he came to Rabbi Chia, he says, Yigato Upatachto. You put the effort in and opened it up. Yageh. Ustom, do the work and close it up now. You don't have a right. You have to close it up. Amaravna. Okay, so here you have a machlok between Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Chia as to whether he has to close this up or doesn't have to close it up. The fundamental difference between them is that Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and we saw this earlier in the Masechta back on Daf Mem Aleph, is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Amrei, Kobe Fanav, anything that is done in front of you, La'alter Havi Chazaka, is immediately a Chazaka, and if there's no objection, and therefore you can establish a chazaka immediately. So the machloket here is, can you create immediate chazaka, or does the chazaka take time? The machloket actually revolves not around the actual time, but the mechanism for chazaka over here. How is the chazaka working? Until now, and many times in the Masechta we pointed out, that the chazaka of Shlosh Shanim only works if you have a tana. You have to have a claim, and then the chazaka of 3 years backs up your claim. So that is really the fundamental machloket over here. How is the chazaka working? Is the chazaka working that I have a claim, you gave me permission to do this, and I have proof of it because it's been there for 3 years and you didn't object? That's Rabbi Chia's view. And therefore over here, just because you open up a window, it's no evidence of that fact. First of all, you haven't been there for 3 years. And number two is, what's your claim? You don't have any claim why you opened, you just opened a window. That fact or the lack of objection is not a right or doesn't give you a claim. On the other hand, what Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi says is, that the chazaka here is not working because of cheskat shloshanim to replace a shtar. The chazaka works over here is because of mechila. It's mechila, which is that if someone opens up a window and it's something that clearly impinges on their rights immediately and they don't object, that means that they've been mochel. There's implicit mechila, and therefore you don't need a taina. Your taina is, I opened it, nobody said anything, therefore I have a right. So that's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that it's because of mechila, therefore the right could be established immediately. As soon as nobody objects, within a period of time, whether it's a day or 30 days, whatever that minimum period of time is, if there is no objection, that's implicit mechila and permission for you to continue to use it. So that's what Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi says. You opened it up, you got it. Nobody objected. Bechia says, what are you talking about? What's your claim? Okay, you opened it up. Nobody objected. That's fine. But what was your right? Did you get permission? What right of, or what rights did you acquire here? Did you get permission? Did you buy the rights? Nothing. Just because you open up a window doesn't give you rights. So therefore, you got to close it up. Because here, it's like a chazaka of 3 years. A chazaka of 3 years just bolsters your claim if you have a ta'ana. You can make a claim like that. But you can't invent a claim to say, oh, yeah, I have permission because I was here for 3 years. There's no squatter's rights, according to Rabbi Chiya. That difference, in their opinion, will also result in a difference of halachic outcome. So Rishbam points out over here, vein halacha kein, halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yosi, that it's midin mechila, or it happens immediately, but rather it's, you need a taina, and you need a chazaka, in order to reinforce your taina. For those Rishonim, like the Rimi Gash, who have been explaining all along, that these Mishnayot are not talking about the chazaka of Shlosh Shanim, but rather a chazaka that can be established in a much shorter period of time, then over here, they have to explain the machloket between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. It's not about the fundamental machloket as to whether you can establish a chazaka through mechila or do you need a ta'ana. Because even if you believe that a chazaka comes through mechila, Rabbi Chiya over here might be objecting because it's hezek riya, which is that what something we've seen before, which is that there's no mechila by hezek. By mazikin, you can't establish a chazaka. And so that may be what Rabbi Chiya is saying, or objecting to Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi's position. It's not fundamentally that he argues that you can establish a chazaka in a shorter period of time, or through mechila, but rather he's objecting to the fact that here you could establish a mechila, because this is hezek riya. And hezek riya is a type of hezek that cannot establish a chazaka. I'm Rav Nachman. Vili stom la'altar avi chazaka. That when you build a wall, as the Rishbam says over here, to block the window of somebody or block their light, there you can establish a chazaka immediately. Nobody allows someone else to cut off their light easement or their right to light, and therefore if someone does it and you're quiet, that is implicit mechila, and therefore you don't have to wait the 3 years. If you've already established a right of having a window there for 3 years, and then all of a sudden your friend comes along and builds a wall right up against that window, then he immediately gains the chazaka to leave the wall there. You can't now open up another window to bring light in somewhere else. Or you can't say, get your wall down, because the fact that you were silent at this point in time grants him the right to maintain the wall there, but also grants him the right then to block your ability to open up other windows. Because of his wall then, and he can say to you, I don't want you looking into my property, I don't want you looking into my wall. Here, when he puts up the wall, it's something that is so obvious, and so it's an affront to the individual who has a window there. So whether he takes out the window, blocks up the window, or puts a wall in front of it, all of those are serious types of activity in which the individual can establish chazaka immediately, because the impact is so immediate and so severe that the individual can establish a chazaka immediately if there's no objection from the other party, assuming that the other party is aware of it. If he's at home, if he's not home, obviously that's not the case. But if he's aware of it, that should be something that he objects to immediately. If he doesn't, then that establishes a chazaka. Over here, here, you have the same question as to whether you need a ta'ana or not. Is the chazaka built through mechila over here? Or is it a chazaka that comes with the ta'ana, that he has to claim that the person gave him the right, but he can establish the chazaka immediately once he comes with that ta'ana? Lakach bayit b'chatzer acheret, lo yifchatene l'chatzer shutafim. He bought it in another chatzer, he can't open it up into the chatzer shutafim. We brought the two opinions, that of the Rishbam and the other Rishonim. My taima. What is the problem over here? The answer is, mipnei shemar be'aleim et derech. So this terminology, mar be'aleim et derech, usually in Shas means, that it's the longer route. You're taking away their shortcut, you're making them going the longer route. Over here, it means, Mar B'lehem Adderach means that you're increasing the traffic in that property. If you remember, Tosafot back on Yud Aleph Amud Bet brought this as a proof that the terminology Mar B'lehem Adderach doesn't always mean a longer way, it means more traffic. That was in a case where someone wanted to open up a store in the Mavoy, or he wanted to close off the end of the Mavoy. So there, Rashi says, Mar B'lehem Adderach means it causes you to have to walk around, or you have to now take a longer route. But I just want to say, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that you're creating more traffic flow in the Mavoy, either because now people are going to come to your Mavoy, to you, or by shrinking the space of the Mavoy, when people come into the Mavoy, there'll be less space for them to go, and there'll be more traffic in front of the other places. Tosso brings his proof from here. Mar B'lehem Adderach here means more traffic. So whether that's the Rashbam's view that if you open up your house, that is, in Chatzer B now and open it up to Chatzer A, you're going to increase the traffic in Chatzer A, and they don't want that. And according to the other Rishonim, if you adjoin a house from Chatzer B to Chatzer A, you're also now going to allow, increase the flow of traffic because people from Chatzer B now can come into Chatzer A, or the people who lived in that house in Chatzer B now can exit through Chatzer A. Ema Seifa, what are you going to do the latter half of the Mishnah? That's what I pointed out. The Gemara has to deal with this because it seems strange. He can add a room to his house. He can build an attic onto his house, an upper level onto his house. When you do that, aren't you increasing the number of individuals who are going to now traffic through this chazer? When you make your house bigger, and the assumption here is that when you add on an aliyah, an upper level, or you add on another room, you're going to rent those out to other parties. So now you're going to rent those out to other parties. Now all of a sudden, there are more people traversing the chazer. The other parties in the chazer should be able to block your building, or at least block your right to rent it out, because now you're going to increase the number of parties that can come in. And even if you're not going to rent it out, and it's inside of your house, you're going to increase the number of people that can live in your house. By doing that, you're also going to increase the traffic in the chazer. So they should be able to object to your expanding your house, because you're going to increase the traffic in the chazer. Why does the Mishnah say it's fine? I'm Ravuna, my cheder. What does it mean that you add on a room? Shechalko, the Shnayim. He split it in half. It's not that you made your house bigger. It means that you took your house and divided it in half. So you're going to rent it to some people on the other half, and you'll be on this half. They're going to say, hey, wait a minute, you're bringing more people in here. You can say to him, my house was all one big thing. I could have brought as many people as I want into it. So now when I split it, then there are people on one side and the other side, it's the same number of people. I have a right to fill my house with people. That's whether it's partitioned into two or whether it's one big house. I'm not increasing the space that it can accommodate people. And therefore, I haven't changed anything. Umay Aliyah. What is an Aliyah over here? Aftai. It's a loft, I would call it. Or that you are taking the area above and you put in another level. It's a taller house. Or within the area of the roof, or the slant of the roof, you're not adding onto your house. You're simply splitting the house up and down versus side to side. You're partitioning it up and down rather than side to side, but you haven't changed the actual airspace of the house. You haven't changed, and therefore you can claim, just like before, I could have put more people in there. So when I do this and split the house internally, I haven't increased the number of people can be there because I could have done that with my own family. Now that I just created that separate area and somebody's going to be in there, that's not a problem. And therefore, he's not Mar B'lehem Adderech because he hasn't increased the size of his house, and that's why it is permissible. There are Rishonim who do explain over here that the building is not a subdivision or partition like the Rishvam, but even with an addition to the house, but the addition to the house is done in such a way that the access and egress must be through the house, and that's why over here it's permitted, because you're not going to bring in new parties to live in your house when the only way they can access and egress is through your house. They don't have any private entrance. They don't have any privacy at all. They become a part and parcel of the people in your house. And that's what it means over here. Shemechalko is just a case where you don't create a separate entrance or you don't create privacy. You simply add on the extra building or piece to the house in such a manner that it is still part and parcel of the existing house, and therefore it's not going to increase the number of parties moving there, because it's only going to be your family, because you weren't going to bring in new people because of the nature of the lack of privacy. So we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Samach Aleph.